This is a song I co-wrote with GW. He wrote most of it. I just kind of made it rhyme. It's a sing-along. It's in God we trust. So we'll bomb you during Ramadan, turn your world into dust. But pull up on your bootstraps, stand on your own 2 feet, as we blow them off with cluster bombs disguised as something to eat. We stand for freedom and prosperity. So we'll bomb your schools and hospitals, make sure you live in liberty. And all you evildoers, and your children and your wives, with our B-52s we'll show you how we value civilian lives. Give us your hungry, your restless. We'll show you democracy, a military trial, and detention indefinitely. We'll have homeland security. Thomas Ridge, all hail. We may not find the terrorists, but we can throw the left in jail. And we will all be safe, and we shall have no fears. Once our retinas have been scanned, and all the walls have ears, and we're all in good hands. When the FBI is in the know, we're sure they'll look after us, just like they did with COINTELPRO. Window, all hail to the chief. Follow the leader and suspend your disbelief. Our country, right or wrong, you know what to do. Sing, God bless America, that red, white, and blue. And if you haven't blessed America lately, this is your opportunity. When facing anyone with box cutters, we'll say put up your dukes, as we spend $50 billion on bombers and nukes. We're a beacon of light, and just to make the point, we'll cut taxes on the rich and throw the poor into the joint. And we'll bail out the airlines, get out your green fedoras, and for all you laid off workers, we've got maquiladoras. Yes, capitalism will save us, for have you ever seen a more convincing proof than Enron in Argentina? Window, all hail to the chief. Follow the leader and suspend your disbelief. Our country, right or wrong, you know what to do. Sing, God bless America, that red, white, and blue. The axis of evil will bomb them down the skids. There will be no more terrorists once we kill their kids. People may starve and economies may crumble, but those folks will just have to learn to be more humble and give us your money, debt repayments with aplomb, while we scour the map for a country left to bomb. And as another city falls on our sacred American soil, at least we've got our daisy cutters and that Alaskan oil. The window, all hail to the chief. Follow the leader and suspend your disbelief. Our country, right or wrong, you know what to do. Sing, God bless America, that red, white, and blue. Michigans were around Olympia for several months. Are you ready? Isn't that wonderful? I'm not going to sing one of their songs, but Rick, they did, I know, but I haven't learned one. Their songs are more complicated than mine. They have the advantage. I just write 4-chord songs and 3 chords, sometimes 2, and then they write like many, many multiple sort of ninth chords and stuff like that. But Rick says this is the age of pre-satirized material. All the material comes pre-satirized. It's an effort to try to do away with the satirists by, you know, taking their job from them. It's sort of like, what was it, Amy Goodman was saying. It sort of blurs the line between White House press secretary and the journalist or something. But this is proof of that whole thing. And it calls for a solution that upholds our domination of the planet. We're gonna make our case and we're gonna make it well. And if you don't like our logic, you can can it. We'll use impeccable intelligence from any country in the world, as long as we all see eye to eye. And if we don't find quite what we need, we know what to do. to look into the camera and lie. It's Operation Iraqi Liberation. Tell me, what does that spell? Operation Iraqi Liberation. They actually called it that, as you may know, briefly for a few hours before they realized their acronymic mistake and changed the name slightly. We'll lie about the missiles and the nuclear research. We'll lie about uranium. We'll build military bases and smile for reporters as we give away bubble gum. We'll lie about Bin Laden, his connections with the Saudis. We'll lie about 911. We'll lie about the Baathists, their connections to Al-Qaeda, because we know there's none. It's Operation Iraqi Liberation. Tell me, what does that spell? Operation Iraqi Liberation. O-I-L. We'll lie about the North Koreans, and we'll lie about Iran, and don't mention Israel. Keep those nuclear weapons out of this song, and we'll all get together swell. And we'll liberate these people, we'll liberate their money, we'll liberate their soil. We'll liberate their airports, we'll liberate their harbors, and we'll liberate their oil. It's Operation Iraqi Liberation. Tell me, what does that spell? Operation Iraqi Liberation. O-I-L. Operation Iraqi Liberation. Tell me, what does that spell? Operation Iraqi Liberation.
History of invading other countries and killing millions of people, and then the soldiers that do all that come home, and those that survive slaughtering come home, and then as many of them that I've known have said, they when they came back from Vietnam, they felt like emotionally they had two basic options ahead of them: either join the anti-war movement or become drug addicts, and or both. And if you read the email list, I think it's called the GI Times or something, it's some kind of email list, I can't remember the name of it, but it's great stuff, and all written by GIs, and if you read that, it's quite clear that the current generation of GIs is no different. Get an education, I most surely did. Wanted to have some kind of steady job, lead a decent life, support me and my wife and kid. First I was based in Texas, then it was off to Germany, then they sent us to Iraq. So many ruined buildings, so many burned up bodies, twisted railroad track. They sent us to Fallujah, we were told to keep the peace amidst such hunger and despair. I was only 21, didn't have a clue what I was doing there. Now they say the war is over and I'm back at home, here in the land of the free. And you're looking at the face of victory, you're looking at the face of victory. Patrolling through Fallujah, driving on the rubble, shattered pavement and shattered glass. They sent us on a search for weapons. We looked in every basement, never found a single barrel of gas. When we saw the cities looted, as we watched the oil pipelines, it all began to seem so clear. We were fighting for Exxon, dying for Chevron, that's what we were doing here. They told us we'd be welcomed as troops of liberation. Once again they lied. We got shot at every day. Everywhere we went, a bunch of my buddies died. A rocket launcher hit my tank, started up a fire, blew my legs right off of me. Now you're looking at the face of victory. You're looking at the face of victory. Michigan, they put some plastic on my stumps and sent me on my way. Now I roll on down the city streets, looking at the people as they turn their eyes away. Down at the burn, they were talking about the government, how it's all a ruse. And I get a little madder every time I see the president smirking on the evening news. I think of the price we paid. The rich keep getting richer, and the bastards are already scheming about the next nation they want us to invade. Yeah, I keep on thinking about the situation. I think of Oklahoma City. And you're looking at the face of victory. You're looking at the face of victory. You're looking at the face of victory. Who is that? That thing? I would have been there if I wasn't here. But things in anything can be complicated if you get close enough to it, including your eyebrows. I would point out for those of us who don't do drugs, you know that. But most things are a lot simpler when you back up a little bit, and I think the Palestine is no exception. I was born a refugee, and I don't know if I'll ever see the old farmhouse I've heard about, but it's where I belong, there is no doubt, 'cause my whole family is from that farm. We never did nobody harm. If you're confused by what you heard, let me boil it down to a single word. I wanna go home. I wanna go home. I have heard my grandpa say that on the street, most every day, the neighbor's kids would kick a ball with my dad when he was small. We were Christians, they were Jews, but it was no big deal. Religious views, so it was strange when at the point of a gun across the river we had to run. I wanna go home. I wanna go home. We had turkey. We had songs, and we all knew where we belonged. We grew crops, life was good there in the land where Jesus stood. Now we're scattered everywhere, but there's no peace anywhere. And I just searching for some kind of sign, for some way back to Palestine. I wanna go home. I wanna go home. I wanna go home. T-shirt other than this one is a picture of George Bush with the words "International Terrorist" on it, and so you can get it. It's made in Canada, of all places, and you can go to internationalterrorists.com and get your own. And what's it? Go. Yes. All those igloo dwellers. And. Generally, in pretty much any urban area in this country, and especially outside of this country, it's a great way to make friends. I've met so many people wearing that shirt that I never would have met otherwise, wandering around in Washington, D.C., or Houston, Texas, or any number of other places. And but one time I was wearing a shirt in a supermarket in Houston, in the organic vegetables section, and one elderly couple did not like the t-shirt, and they came up to me, and they were enraged, and the man was, his fingers were shaking, and he was pointing at Bush's face, and he's saying, "He's a man of God, he's a man of God." So I wrote this song for him. Political conventions, talking of your crusade, talk of your nation, and other things too terrible to mention. And you proclaim your Christianity, you proclaim your love of God, you talk of apple pie and ma. I've just got one question, and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb? Maybe Jesus would bomb the Syrians, cause they're not Jews like him. On some kind of vengeful whim, maybe Jesus would drive an M1 tank in. He would shoot Saddam. Who would Jesus bomb? And on the battleships, I've seen you in the house upon the hill. And I've heard you talking about making the world safer and about all the men you have to kill. And you speak so glibly about your civilization and how you have the moral higher ground. While halfway around the world, your explosives smash the buildings. You could only hear the sound. Maybe Jesus would show no compassion for his enemies in the lands way over there. Maybe Jesus would have flown the planes that killed the kids in Vietnam. Who would Jesus bomb? Hear you shout with confidence as you praise the Lord, and you talk about this God you know so well. You talk of Armageddon and your final victory when all the evil forces go to hell. Well, you'd best hope you've chosen wisely on the right side of the Lord, and when you die, your conscience it is clear. You'd best hope your atom bombs are better than the sword at the time when your reckoning is here. Would send gunships into Bethlehem or jets to raise the towns of Timorese. I don't think Jesus would lend money to dictators or drive those dropped a single ounce of napalm. Oh, what Jesus bomb. Oh, what Jesus bomb. Oh, what Jesus bomb. Revived Records in the indie music biz. His parents didn't like such turns of events, so they called up a couple of thugs. Send him back to Utah, lock him up and pump him full of drugs. They say he's got problems with authority, yeah, this is what they claim. And their psychiatric analysis has even got a name: oppositional defiance disorder. I think I got it too. Oppositional defiance disorder. He's sick and so are you. If you think George Bush is a moron and Tony Blair's a liar, if you fantasize about setting your local Walmart on fire, if you don't like how broke the iron fingers put it, if you feel a Rush Limbaugh punching bag might be kind of fun to hit, if bombing other countries makes you feel appalled, you have got a problem and this is what it's called: oppositional defiant disorder. I think I got it too. Oppositional defiant disorder. So are you. If you think school is boring and your teacher is a fool, if you don't like your congressman and you call them a corporate tool, if you were not standing to sing Save the Queen, if you turned down hamburgers and ate rice and beans, we got a diagnosis no matter whether you agree. Just do what the doctors tell you, thank God for psychiatry. Oppositional defiant disorder. I got it too. Oppositional defiant disorder. He's sick and so are you. Turned into a leaf, born on this planet that I didn't meet. The ice caps are melting, you can measure the rise of the poisoned oceans. Hear all the lies of the political pundits and corporate crooks, their accountants and scientists cooking the books with hardly an inkling of what it's about. Wedded to profit in flooding and drought, I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world. Standing here on the bayou, amidst mountains of soil, washed up farmland covered in oil, 1 ton every acre, lost every year, and along with the pesticides, it ends up right here. Millions of miles of chemical wheat, challenging all to try to compete, and lay waste to your country like we've done to ours. Let them eat coffee, sugar, coca, and flowers. I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world. Here in the city, shrouded in smoke, 10 million people this morning awoke to a future of cancer, industrial disease. So let's build some more suburbs and buy SUVs. Cut down the mountains, burn all the coal, and put all the money in a humongous bowl. They'll call it progress and they'll blame it on you to end life as we know it, to enrich the few. I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world. place. I speak to you now from an occupied place. You might call it your home or a terrorist base. They'll send your sons and your daughters to make sure that it's theirs, while they sit in their mansions in plush leather chairs. And everyone's waiting for us to decide. In dust we were born, and in dust we reside. Will we realize the commons is to shepherd and share here in this war zone called land, water, and air? I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world. I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world. Southeast a little over a year ago with a union organizer from Colombia named William Mendoza. Of course, he's coming from the country that receives, I think, the third biggest recipient of U.S. military aid, which is going to democratize the country by killing everybody. It's sort of it's a democratization process that involves slaughtering the population. And it's kind of complicated, but you can trust the White House. They know what they're doing, of course. And, but William doesn't think so. We were doing our presentation at Warren Wilson College, which is sort of North Carolina's answer to Evergreen, and it was the happiest day on the tour for William, because the day after we did our presentation, and then we were going around to classes, and someone pointed out to us that the ubiquitous Coca-Cola machines on the campus, which we had noticed, were there. Mysteriously, that morning, after we got up, none of them were working. Coke came to Columbia, seeking lower wages. They ain't got just what they came for. But as we turn the page, we find the workers do not like the sound of their children's hungry cries. So they said, we'll join the union. They began to organize. So Coke called up a terrorist group called the AUC. Said, we've got some problems at the factory. The AUC went to the plant, killed two union men, told the rest, you leave the union or we'll be back again. Well, Coke did not complain about this dirty deed. Why did workers higher wages when Coke is all they really need? They phoned the AUC, said, thanks, without you we'd go broke. And to show our appreciation, here's 100 cases of Coke. The baby drinks it in his bottle when the water ain't no good. The dog drinks it, but he don't know he should. Some folks say it's the nectar of the gods, but Coke is the drink of the death squads. Coke is the drink of the death squads. That's the chorus. You can sing with me next time. It's going to be the next corporate slogan, so you can learn it now. Be ahead of the pack. Well, these workers wouldn't take this situation lying down. Some went up to Georgia, said, look what's happened to our town. You American workers get downsized. As for us, we just get shot. And those of us who live, our teeth begin to rot. Cause the baby drinks it in his bottle when the water ain't no good. The dog drinks it, but he don't know that he should. Some folks say it's the nectar of the gods, but Coke is the drink of the death squads. What is it? Coke is the drink of the death squads. Yes. Well, now that's the situation. What are you gonna do? Cause the death squads run Columbia and they're paid by me and you. We can let Coke rule the world, see what future that will bring. Or we can drink juice and smash the state. Now that's the real thing. Cause the baby drinks it in his bottle when the water ain't no good. The dog drinks it, but he don't know if he should. Some folks say it's the the nectar of the gods. But Coke is the drink of the Death Squads. Coke is the drink of the Death Squads. The first time the U.S. invaded Mexico, one of 34 countries in the Americas that have been invaded by the U.S., was 1846. And I believe that, according to Howard Zinn, the mainstream history books, I never really paid much attention to them, but he says that they say that the imperialist period lasted for 3 years, from 1846 to 1849. And during that period, that was the invasion of Mexico, and we took most of it away and never gave it back. And I guess they figured out how to justify every other invasion, because most of the other invasions did not involve actually taking the country over and never giving it back, or at least it involved like putting in a puppet dictatorship or something, not actually annexing it all. But, you know, aside from the entirety of the United States. But, there were a lot, and I guess they stopped where they did because for one reason was that huge numbers of troops from the U.S. Army were deserting and presumably doing something more interesting than killing people, like eating beans and tortillas and hanging out on the beach or something. I don't know what they were doing. Hopefully something, found something better to do. But a couple hundred people took the whole desertion thing a step further, and this is a song about them. My name is John Ryan, I'll have your ear only a while. I left my dear home in Ireland, it was death, starvation, or exile. When I got to America, it was my duty to go. Enter the army and slog across Texas to join in the war against Mexico. And it was there in the pueblos and hillsides that I saw the mistake I had made. Part of a conquering army with the morals of a bayonet blade. And never missed all these poor dying Catholics, screaming children of burning stench of it all. Myself and 200 Irishmen decided to rise to the call. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom tonight. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. That's the chorus. We can sing it together. You know, I played a lot of college campuses, and I like to point out at this point that there may be certain career opportunities which you have not fully considered. We can talk about that later. We marched beneath the green flag of St. Patrick, emblazoned with Erin Goldbra, bright with the harp and the shamrock, and Libertad para la República. Just 50 years after Wolf Tone, 5,000 miles away, the Yanks called us a legion of strangers, and they can talk as they may. But from Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. What did we do? We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We fought them in Matamoros, where their volunteers were raping the nuns. In Monterey and Cerro Gordo, we fought on as Ireland's sons. We were the red-headed fighters for freedom amidst these brown-skinned women and men. Side by side we fought against tyranny, and I dare say we'd do it again. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. fought them in 5 major battles. Churubusco was the last. Overwhelmed by the cannons from Boston, we fell after each mortar blast. Most of us died on that hillside in the service of the Mexican state. So far from our occupied homeland, we were heroes and victims of fate. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side.
So, Subcomandante Marcos of the Zapatista Army National Liberation refers to, has been known to refer to internationals that go to Chiapas to work alongside the Zapatistas as modern-day San Patricios. And this is a song about another one of those. When she sat down in the dirt in front of your machine, a lovely woman dressed in red, you in military green. If you had met her in Jerusalem, you might have asked her on a date. But here you were in Gaza, rolling towards the gate. As your foot went to the floor, did you recall her eyes? Did her gaze remind you that you've become what you despise? As you rolled on towards this woman and ignored all shouts to stop, did you feel a shred of doubt as you watched her body drop? As your caterpillar tracks upon her body pressed with 60 tons of deadly force crushed the bones within her chest, could you feel the contours of her face as you took her life away? Did you serve your country well on that cool spring day? Just as I was entering West Olympia, driving into the campus, I got a phone call on my cell phone. And it was a guy named Tom with a British accent. And he was calling from Gaza and asking me if I minded if they used the lyrics to that song for a tribute. I'm not sure which Tom it was. I'm going to do one more song, and then we're going to take a little break, and then I'm going to do more
songs. I think that's the basic format.
It was a time I'll always remember. I could never forget how reality came down around us like some Western movie set. And when the dust all settled, the sun shone so bright. And a great calm took over us like it was all gonna be alright. That's how it felt to be alive after the revolution. From Groton to Tacoma, on many a factory floor, the workers talked of solidarity and refused to build weapons of war. No more will we make missiles. We're gonna do something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. And somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried after the revolution. Prison doors swung open, mothers hugged their sons. The Liberty Bell was ringing when the cops put down their guns. A million innocent people lit up in the springtime air. And Mumia and Leonard and Sarah Jane Olson took a walk in Tompkins Square. And they talked about what they do now after the revolution. Debts were all forgiven in all the neo-colonies. Soldiers left their bases, went back to their families. A non-aggression treaty was signed with every sovereign state. All the terrorist groups disbanded with no empire left to hate. And they all started planting olive trees after the revolution. George Bush and Henry Kissinger were sent off to the world court. Their plans for global domination were preemptively cut short. Their weapons of mass destruction were inspected and destroyed. Battleships dismantled, never again to be deployed. And the world breathed a sigh of relief after the revolution. Solar panels were on the rooftops, trains upon the tracks. Organic food was in the markets, no GMOs upon the rack. And all the billionaires had to learn how to share. Bill Gates was told to quit his whining when he said it wasn't fair. And his mansion became a collective farm after the revolution. Couldn't think of what to say, so they all decided to live life for today. I spent a few years catching up with all my friends and lovers, sleeping till 11 home beneath the covers. And I learned how to play the accordion after the revolution.
song that proves I'm a terrorist.
When the rich man on the TV said this world's mine, when he asked which side you're on, told you to step in line. When he gave his reasons for his war of conquest, when he talked about your wallet, said it was in your interest, did you shrug your shoulders? Do as you were told, hang a flag in your window, buy the goods that you were sold, or did you set off his craven image, call the man a liar? Did you strike a blow against the empire? Did you strike a blow against the empire? When they were rounding up your neighbors, you know, the ones with darker skin, clerks and teachers, engineers with names like Sammy and Missin, when they were breaking down the doors, taking them away, holding them on secret charges, hidden from the light of day, what did you tell their children? When you had a chance to meet, could you look them in the eye? Or did you walk past them on the street? Could you see that you stood up where their lives were on the wire? Did you strike a blow against the empire? Did you strike a blow against the empire? Children lost their lives, lying broken in the pavement as the ambulance arrived. When the soldiers opened fire with their heavy guns, could you hear the demonstrators hit the ground? See how their red blood runs. What were you doing in those fateful times? Did you raise your voice against those awful crimes? Or were you hiding in your bedroom when the situation was so dire? Did you strike a blow against the empire? Did you strike a blow against the empire? Was at your door when the fascist state was here and they brought home the war, when the Gestapo was in the city and they had really taken power, when there was nothing left to do here in the final hour, did you find a place to run to where you might live a few more years when the slaughter was around you? Did you cover up your ears, or did you set your sights, take your aim and fire? Did you strike a blow against the empire? Did you strike a blow against the empire? Did you strike a blow against the empire? Beside the lilacs, I watch you take them in. You start the morning with a prayer. That's the way your days begin. And if I could be a petal, which you touch before you go, then with this branch I'll scratch the dirt. That's the seed I'll sow. Mi amor, as you dive beneath the water, I watch it cascade down your chest. You rise upon the wave, as if it's molded to your breast. And if I could be a stream that feeds this lake, which might rise to kiss your face, then I will wind my way between these rocks, so I might settle in this place. Mi amor, as you glide beside the clouds, I feel a wind beneath your wings. With such ease you take this gift that your friend La Luna brings. And I hope that in my lungs there might be the strength one day, that you might gather other sparrows and chase the crows away. Mi amor, the sound that rises from your belly is one I've heard before. It reaches deep behind these walls, and I want to live some more. And if I might write a verse, would you choose to sing one afternoon? Then I will gladly while away the hours searching for the tune.
Supposed to be
very proud of, like Andrew Carnegie. He woke up one morning and thought, I think the 8-hour day would be a good idea, and he sort of just gave it to everybody. That was what I learned. They never mentioned the labor movement when I was young. And it was the same kind of deal with Henry Ford. He invented the assembly line, which of course is a good thing, and never mentioned the pro-Nazi speaking tours he funded, or the anti-Semitic tracts he wrote, or the fact that he built tanks for both sides of the war, or the most fascinating part of the whole deal, that he sued the U.S. government for bombing his German tank-making facilities and then won the lawsuit. Ford built tanks for the Nazis, and the Nazis used those tanks to gun down lots of soldiers in the U.S. Army ranks. Yes, Henry Ford was a fascist, and a nasty one was he. He built tanks for anyone for the proper fee. And Henry Ford spoke to his lackeys, and he said, isn't this great? We'll attack our enemies, and we'll retaliate. Yes, Henry Ford was a fascist and a cunning liar too. A brown shirt with a swastika draped in red, white, and blue. Henry Ford spoke to his workers and he said, you dare not strike. You must be patriotic and take on my Third Reich. Yes, Henry Ford was a fascist and he had not a care about the dying soldiers that made him a billionaire. He built many more to gun down lots of peasants in Peru and Salvador. Yes, Henry Ford was a fascist. I heard that when he died, the last words to leave his lips was Abba Mafrai. Yes, the dollar was his icon on whichever shore, and Henry's only motto was make money and make war. Yes, Henry Ford was a fascist. That's all I have to say. I will spit on Henry's rotting grave until my dying day.
After the war, the next second they were
Hiroshima.
think someone's confused. Just look at these sidewalks, they're not being used. You know when a city dies, it doesn't die with grease. It just becomes a ruin, shouting, this was once the place. I guess it's time to leave, but I don't know where I'd be back. There used to be a city in this town. There used to be a city in this town. There used to be a city in this town. Organization that has been attacking world leaders from Brussels to Bangkok, Poland to Sweden, California to New Hampshire, and getting away with virtual impunity. See the man in his limousine, in his tight, well-pressed shirt, hoping that he's not been seen on the lookout for dessert. He knows that he is guilty and a visit might be paid by the vegan vigilantes of the biotic baking brigade. What's that sailing through the air in the boardroom? See them shiver. You can spend your life hoping for pie in the sky, but the baking brigade delivers. If you sell your city's soul to the landlord's greedy pack, you, my friend, have earned yourself a tasty pastry snack. You can call yourself a liberal and hope your crimes will fade, but your sellout soul will be exposed by the biotic baking brigade. What's that sailing through the air in the boardroom? See them shiver. You can spend your life hoping for pie in the sky, but the baking brigade delivers. If you cut down the last of the forests, spew poison in the air, don't you be surprised to find that cheesecake in your hair. Yes, if you are a corporate criminal, you've surely made the grade to receive a fresh baked goodie from the biotic baking brigade. What's that sailing through the air in the boardroom? See them shiver. You can spend your life hoping for pie in the sky, but the baking brigade delivers. Frat boys to join the environmental movement. And I have no idea whether it's working, because I have yet to receive an email. And some songs I write, and they, you know, people write me back. You know, they say, you know, gosh, you're a fascist, or self-loathing Jew, or you're, you know, or you're wonderful or something. But with this song, I don't get too much feedback. Except I did hear from the biologist who did the research at the University of Florida, and he said he approved of my interpretation of his research. And his research was on alligators and the effects of dioxin on the reproductive systems of alligators and the implications for humans and other creatures with fatty tissues. And when I read the thing about the research in the New York Times, I thought this is something people need to know more about, because I think there's about 49% of our population that might be interested in becoming environmental activists if they understood the implications of the effects of dioxin on the reproductive systems of alligators. Everybody's getting cancer. How did she metrical or eat? Maybe it's something you drank or breathed. Maybe it's something you ate. Perhaps this doesn't concern you. And we've all gotta go sometime. But maybe I can tell you something to make you change your mind. The alligator dicks are shriveling up, and soon they'll all be through. Yeah, the alligator dicks are shrinking fast, and it will happen to you. It will happen to you, boys. It will happen to you. The alligator dicks are shriveling up, and it will happen to you. That's the part we sing to you. Therapeutic. See, they are an indicator species, like canaries in the mine. They're the first ones to kick the bucket when things might otherwise seem fine. So let's be frank and honest as this situation begs. Boys, what are you gonna do about that thing between your legs? Cause the alligator dicks are shriveling up, and soon they'll all be through. Yeah, the alligator dicks are shrinking fast, and it will happen to you. It will happen to you, boys, it will happen to you. The alligator dicks are shriveling up, and it will happen to you. I'm not beating around the bush. I'm making you a promise. Say goodbye to Long Dong Silver. Hello to Tiny Thomas. You can forget about Viagra. Boys, what I mean is it's all a matter of minutia when you've got a half-inch penis. Cause the alligator dicks are shriveling up, and soon they'll all be through. Yeah, the alligator dicks are shrinking fast, and it will happen to you. It will happen to you, boys, it will happen to you. The alligator dicks are shriveling up, and it will happen to you. So if you care about your love life and that good old whoop-de-doo, you gotta stop pollution, boys, that's what I'm telling you. Cause the alligator dicks are shriveling up, and soon they'll all be through. Yeah, the alligator dicks are shrinking fast, and it will happen to you. It will happen to you, boys, it will happen to you. The alligator dicks are shriveling up, and it will happen to you. I had the fortune or misfortune or something, I don't know what it was exactly, but I was going to play a benefit concert for the Hartford Okotal Sister City Project in Hartford, Connecticut, and but in the Baptist Church. You know, we use churches a lot to do things in because they're there, and usually cheap to rent and, you know, free sometimes. And so we overlook the incredible echo in those places and the horrible lighting and non-existent sound systems and use them and do good things in them. And but when we can play this kind of place, it's really great. But that's a tangent anyway. A lot of this place is lovely. But I was going to do this concert, and then the Baptist minister got a hold of my website, and he sent it and looked at this song I'm about to sing, and he sent out an email to the Greater Hartford Area Council of Churches, of which he apparently thought he was the leader, and said that not only was I banned from ever singing in his church, but that if I ever sang in any other church in the Greater Hartford Council of Churches, then they would be kicked out of the Council of Churches. And so it was a bit of a quandary because the Hartford Oakland Health Sister City Project was also part of the Council of Churches and relied on that for their 501c3 form. So the gig ended up going ahead in a Jewish cultural center sponsored by the Quakers. Oh, and he said, in his email, he said that I was an anti-American, anti-Christian, pro-terrorist. So this is evidence that the Quakers are in fact terrorists, as we've always suspected. Child, what will you remember when you recall your 16th year? The horrid sound of helicopter gunships, the rumble of the tanks as they drew near. As the world went about its business, and I burned another tank of gasoline, Dow Jones lost a couple points that day while you were crying in the city of Janine. Did they even give your parents warning before they blew the windows out with shells? While you hid inside the high school basement amidst the ringing of church bells, as you watched your teacher crumble by the doorway, and in England they were toasting to the Queen, you were so far from the thoughts of so many, huddled in the city of Janine. You thinking of the taunting of the soldiers, or of the shit they smeared upon the walls? Were you thinking of your cousin after torture, or Tel Aviv and its glittering shopping malls? When the fat men in their mansions say that you don't want peace, did you wonder what they mean? As you sat amidst the stench inside the darkness, in the shattered city of Janine. What went through your mind on that day at the sight of your mother's vacant eyes, as she lay still among the rubble beneath the blue Middle Eastern skies? As you stood upon this bulldozed building beside the settlements and their hills so green, as your tears gave way to grim determination amidst the ruins of the city of Janine. And why should anybody wonder, as you stepped on board the crowded bus across the green line, and you reached inside your jacket for the cord? Were you thinking of your neighbor's buried bodies as you made the stage for the scene, as you set off the explosives that were strapped around your waist? Were you thinking of the city of Janine? Moved up to Olympia for the brief time that I lived here in 93, 94 to escape San Francisco. Tell you what happened. I was walking downtown, making something for me, pounding the ground. Some kid pulled trigger. Then I was dead. Cause that's what happens when a shotgun blows off your head. I was just 24, much too young to die. My reason for living, I didn't know why. I had no time to show what my life could be worth. Now I'm just another of all the ghosts that walk this earth. As I wander the world and I see all the others, the dead and forsaken, my sisters and brothers, all of us wondering, what are we doing here? Just stuck on this planet for who knows how many years. In Auschwitz or Baghdad, it's always the same. Forgotten and restless, no one calling her name. I visit my old friends, they make love and give birth. While I'm just another of all the ghosts that walk this earth. I've been where the flowers grow wild, where the napalm meets skin. I wish I could treat it and be back in my life. Maybe we'd live in China, maybe you'd be my wife. Maybe I would feel something, not just angry and sad. Always just wishing for the life that I had. I watch you and your lover in such glorious mirth. While I'm just another of all ghosts that walk this earth.
We'll bring them their class war, and we'll lock down to the gates as they're spreading vicious lies. They want to dominate the world, and we see through their disguise. If they had one big multinational with their corporate flags unfurled, searching everywhere for the lowest wages in the world, then we'll have one big union from Melbourne to Prague to Seattle town, wherever they may go. We will shut them down. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. We will shut them down.
That's the chorus. You now know it has five words. And my theory is that The revolution is going to require a certain level of organization and a certain level of enthusiasm. And I think that it's entirely possible that this can be symbolized by the ability of a room full of people to sing five words at the same time at a certain level of volume. I mean, basically, if we can't pull that off, we're pretty much screwed. We might as well just go home. And if we can pull that off, then it might be like a trial run for the revolution. From like singing five words, we can move on to like longer choruses. And we could form a choir. We could move from forming a choir to forming a battalion. I mean, you never know where things can go. Kind of morph. CNN will spread the lies. This is just how it's gotta be. Well, they can have their CNN, cause we've got our IMC. And they'll tell the truth quite clearly, though they don't want to hear it. And they'll try to stop our broadcasts, cause the truth is that they fear it. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. What are we gonna do? We will shut them down. That was excellent. Of course, when you start out that good, it's kind of a challenge, because the thing is, it's symbolic revolution is after the fifth chorus, and we actually have to increase the volume and the enthusiasm, harmonies even, by the end of the thing. We can't just like kind of get it together and figure out, okay, we've had our little protest, now we'll go back to the cafe. And we need to follow through, They have a world full of strip malls and plants grown by biotech. As long as they get richer, they just don't give a heck. But we don't want their eco side. We want a world we can live in. That's why we're here to stay. And we're not gonna give it. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. What are we gonna do? We will shut them down. That's really good. Even better. They will infiltrate us, provocateurs within our ranks. And if they can't divide us, they'll send the planes and the tanks. But we will stand together, pacifists and Zapatistas, workers, farmers, the indigenous, tree huggers and baristas. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. We will shut them down. Excellent. I even heard harmony there. Build a new world without the corporate elite, and we will see the day of their international defeat. We'll have self-determination and equality for all. For what choice do we really have but to rise up and see them fall? We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. Such a kick-ass job organizing this thing. I'm really impressed that we have this many people in this room, considering what all else is happening in Olympia tonight. I mean, it's pretty happening night. The next three nights are even more happening this evening. But and I've got CDs out there if anybody interested in my mechanic. I have a new mechanic right here in Olympia, and he'll appreciate your CD purchases very much. And all these songs are also, pretty much most of them are all on my website for free download, which is davidgrovix.com. And this is a song, and we need to support the Green Party. I think that's a damn fine thing, because at least don't support the other two. I mean, they're both pretty worthless, so, that's political philosophy right there. And, I wrote the song after Carlo Giuliani was killed at the G8 protest, which always seems like a strange segue to mention that, this coming summer is going to be a lot of fun on the East Coast. We got the G8 protests in Savannah, Georgia, and hopefully nobody's going to get shot, and we'll have a really good time. There's not even going to be any G8 leaders there, because they're all meeting on an island off the coast. And I guess in New York at the RNC, they were going to meet on a yacht, like, in the water. But I guess they're going to be in the city now. I don't know if they have figured that out yet. And of course we got Timoney, Chief Police Chief Timoney from fresh from breaking people's bones and tear gassing people in Miami for nonviolent protesting. Now he's police chief in Boston, my hometown. And so we got the DNC in the end of July, and the RNC in the end of August, and a march that folks here in Olympia are working with folks out east to organize from Boston to New York, and that's going to be a blast. So it's a good summer to be in the Northeast, I think. When the world has gone crazy, and it's all becoming clear, when they're gunning down our comrades, and it seems the end is near, as they're loading up the launchers for the tear gas grenades, we can take off our bandanas and kiss behind the barricades. When it's madness all around, and you can see this at a glance, we will sing and we will cry, we will laugh and we will dance. As they shout their marching orders beneath the helicopter blades, we shall seize the moment for a kiss behind the barricades. They will try to break our spirit, and at times they may succeed, but our love for the world is stronger than their greed. When the building is surrounded and hope begins to fade, in my final hour, a kiss behind the barricades. As the movement grows, there will be hills and bends, but at the center of the struggle are your lovers and your friends. And the more we hold each other up, the less we can be swayed. Here's to love and solidarity, and a kiss behind the barricades. One of the Northwest's own political prisoners, Jeffrey Lures. Civil disobedience has many permutations. You can block the streets in front of the United Nations. You can lay down at the tracks, keep the nuke trains out of town. Or you can pour gas on the condo and you can burn it down. Here's a toast to the night. Three cheers and a grunt is your part. One person knew it, now the rest of you got it, right? To the Earth Liberation Front. The Earth Liberation Front. You can go to Senate hearings, wait till they call your name. My hat is off to anyone with the will to play that game. But if you want to know the truth, what warms my aching heart is to see the mass of interest come to tear the road apart. Destroy a logging truck. These are the very corporations who'd kill the planet for a buck. They'll tell you to talk and be reasonable, they'll say. Maybe we can talk tomorrow, but we can pull the GM crops today. Here's a toast to the night. Three cheers and a grunt. To the Earth Liberation Front. The Earth Liberation. World to see, a wild running river, or an old gross redwood tree. But in such an ugly situation, so sinister and dire, there's nothing quite so lovely as a Walmart on fire. Here's the toast of the night, three cheers and a grunt. Liberation Front. Here's a toast to the night. Three cheers and a run. To the Earth Liberation Front. The Earth Liberation
February 15th, like half a million people or whatever it was, and works good with half a million people. And I think it's a song that should be recorded with a chorus of half a million people.
You can say it's about the savages. You can say I have a better way to live. You can call it manifest destiny. You can talk of all your civilization will give. You can say that we're a thing of history, and progress is the future you will bring. You can send your armies to these mountains. You can say we'll prosper beneath your king. There will always be resistance. The next battle will always be near. As long as you have everything, there will be those who have nothing to fear. And little by little, or maybe all at once, you will lose. Because our future is not yours to choose. You can say you've got to stop the communists. You can say that our ideals can't succeed. You can say that competition is the only way. And a global system based on greed. You can call yourself a Democrat. You can call yourself whatever you will. You can keep on stamping out the fires you start. So you might stay on top of the hill. The next battle will always be near. As long as you have everything, there will be those who have nothing to fear. And little by little, or maybe all at once, you will lose. Because our future is not yours to choose. Destroying all that's free. You can say that we are building weapons as your bombers fly from sea to bloody sea. You can say you're with us or against us, and to die quietly is what we now must do. You can maintain your innocence. You can claim that you are many as you represent the few. But there will always be resistance. The next battle will always be near. As long as you have everything, there will be those who have nothing to fear. And little by little, or maybe all at once, you will lose. Because our future is not yours to choose.
a party up over here. Somewhere. Who's having fun? Can you decide where the party is?
Thanks again, David. Thanks again, everybody, for coming out tonight.